Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello there, everybody. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette. I am the tech editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as usual, as he was just about a year ago, is Jonathan Strickland, a senior writer.
I predict that this podcast will go smoothly.
Well, let's see how that prediction did. About a year ago, we were actually talking about our predictions for 2009 and what we thought was going to happen in technology over the course of a year. That was kind of surprising because, you know, that was the end of our first – it wasn't even a full year we'd been podcasting.
Nope. It'd been about 6 months.
So who knew that we would still be here?
Yeah. I know most of our listeners didn't.
Well,
yeah, we thought we would look over the list of predictions we made and see how we did.
Okay.
So let's, I'm going to start with one of Chris's predictions. We actually made up this list and, we kind of did a cursory glance and gave a yay or nay as to whether or not each one had come true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that some of these are open for debate. So, but the first one I don't think is,
yeah,
which was that Chris predicted that Steve Jobs would name a successor at Apple. He kind of waffled on whether or not Steve Jobs would actually step down officially from Apple. And because remember, this was back when we knew that Jobs was, something was going on with his health. He had not officially made his, announcement about taking leave, I think, at that point.
Yeah. Well, that seems like it was a long time ago.
Yeah,
now.
It does, right? Well, I mean, cause, it was,
but we knew something was up.
We knew something was up. There was a lot of conjecture at the time that he was, possibly having a remission with, his cancer issues that he had had years before.
Yeah.
And so Chris predicted that Steve Jobs would, in order to be diligent in his duties as CEO of Apple, name a successor, which has not happened.
No. Not
so,
the least.
That's an X in that column. Let me just make a big X. All right. Your turn.
Yeah. You know, you didn't have to use the red marker for that.
I know. I didn't have to.
Okay, well, we'll stick with Apple and one of Jonathan's. He predicted that the Mac desktop computer would go away.
And it's still there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that one I was not right. There are new iMacs out and they are beautiful.
Yep. And, well, honestly though, you had reasonable reason to believe that because, I mean, netbooks and notebooks and all kinds of mobile computing devices, even smartphones, they've been hot, flying off the shelves.
Yeah.
And, one might think that, you know, Apple, which is known for doing such crazy things as eliminating the floppy disk drive from the iMac, eek, might go so far as to get rid of the desktop machine entirely.
And I think,
apparently not.
I think people have made a good point in that there are a lot of legitimate reasons why you might want a larger desktop unit as opposed to a laptop or other mobile computing device, including things like if you're doing video editing or any kind of media work, you probably want a nice large screen to work with, and laptops just don't have that. I mean, once you get to a point where you have a nice large screen with a laptop, it's not no longer a laptop. It's just too big. And while you can use some devices where you can maybe hook up a second screen to a laptop or other mobile computing device, that's not ideal, really.
I mean, you could plug it into a dock and run a nice big monitor off of it. But the thing is, a lot of the processors that you see in desktop computers are just take too much power to use in a laptop computer when you're not hooked up to a power source.
Right.
So if you're out on the road, I mean, that's one of the things that people expect is to have a nice long battery life. Well, if you have a super heavy duty processor in it, that's the battery life's going to just, you know, it's going to drop dramatically because that processor is using so much power. So I think that niche is still around for a little while longer. Although I think laptops are outselling, you know, both Windows and Mac laptops are outselling the desktops these days. So.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on it. I mean, I don't think the desktop form factor is going away quite as quickly as I imagined back a year ago. Let's move to the next one. We got a ringer here.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris predicted that there would be rumors about the next gadget from Apple sometime in 2009.
Now, okay, it was a softball.
No, not entirely a softball, because we're not talking about an update to a gadget, right? We're not talking about a new kind of iPhone or whatever.
True.
We're talking about a totally new gadget. And you nailed it because the Apple tablet became the rumor of 2009.
You mean the non-existent Apple tablet?
Right. It may very well carry over to be the rumor of 2010, the way we're going now. I mean, you keep on hearing things about people saying, "Ooh, the Apple tablet's been delayed." Look, Apple never announced the tablet. At least as of the recording of this podcast, Apple has not announced any plans for a tablet device. Now, there's a lot of evidence, circumstantial evidence, that points to them developing a tablet. But if you haven't announced it and you haven't given a release date, you can't say that the project has been delayed from an official standpoint because there was no date to overshoot. So I think we're going to have to keep our eyes open, see if this rumored device shows up. But yep, that's a win in your column. So let me just put a big X mark next to this. Well, I guess I should have chosen a different shape and color because this is going to be really confusing when I'm all done. All right, your turn.
So you actually get an X here for no Apple netbook.
Yes.
There is not an Apple netbook.
Right. Which, again, not a huge prediction because Apple executives had gone so far as to specifically say they were not interested in developing a netbook because for them to develop a netbook that would meet the price point of your average netbooks, it would require them to not live up to their standards that they had established for their products. And so there was no way they could develop a product at that price point that was not a piece of crap. That's pretty much a direct quote.
All right, then.
All right. So next we had a web office launches and goes head to head with Google Docs.
Where does that go? Because there is a version of Office for the web, but it's not out.
Yeah, it's still in beta. So I would say this is gray. So I'm going to mark this with a big red X right here.
Wait a minute. There we go.
Three red X's so far. So they mean different things, but that's okay. I will remember that when we get to the end.
A little concerned about this.
All right.
Tabulation next. Style. Here's a win for you. You've got Windows.
It's a partial win.
Well, okay. Yeah. Windows 7. Mm-hmm. It's out.
Yep.
And you predicted last year that it was going to have a Microsoft was going to have a hard time convincing people to adopt it after success it hadn't with Windows Vista.
It hung in the air the initial that bricks problems. Don't. That's very Douglas Adams-y kind of way of putting it. So really what I was saying was that because Windows Vista was considered by many people to be a failure,
not necessarily even
through the whole, I would say through the whole life cycle of the product, many people, not necessarily Microsoft, but other people would consider the product to be a failure. And I said that would make people more reluctant to adopt Windows 7 because it's an unknown quantity. Well, the reviews for Windows 7 have been very positive. People have rushed out to purchase new Windows 7 computers.
Yes, they have.
So in that case, I was not correct. But what I was really thinking, I'd like to think, since it's a year later and I can't really remember, but I was really thinking about things like corporations, you know, big companies. Would they adopt Windows 7 machines, or would they wait and stick with Windows XP machines until they absolutely had to upgrade? And that seems to be the case. It seems like a lot of corporations have learned a lesson from Windows Vista and have decided that, you know, they've got legacy systems that run on XP that may not run on Windows 7, and they don't want to get burned, so they want to make sure that Windows 7 is a stable environment before moving to it, which is why I consider this a partial win. I think from a consumer standpoint, no, there's been no perception problem with Windows 7. But yeah, from a commercial standpoint with businesses, I think there still is.
Yeah, actually, I have worked for a company that was large enough to the point where they were reluctant to install the next version of the operating system until they felt it was complete. For example, when XP came out, they decided to upgrade to Windows 2000 from 95.
Wow.
So, because they wanted.
Talk about a mistake.
But, well, see, that's the thing. They had finally all the patches in place, and
right,
they did it.
But Windows 2000 was awful.
Well, okay. Well, you have that. I mean, they were very large companies are often reluctant to move up as a result. And, There's another factor that plays into it too, the recession, because people don't want to spend the money to upgrade the software when XP is doing okay for them. So that I mean, it hasn't been selling as well as Microsoft had hoped, at least after that first initial rush, although I think it's been somewhat steady.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as bad as everybody thought it was going to be either. A lot of people were saying it was going to be, you know, an awful thing. Anyway.
All right, so let's move on. You predicted that the Xbox 720 would be announced at E3.
Haha.
It was not.
Not correct.
Yep. Microsoft has not mentioned anything about the successor to the Xbox 360. In fact, Project Natal, which is the next really big innovative control interface for the Xbox 360, that was being marketed specifically as a 360 product, which kind of suggests that they have plans for a few more years of 360 life before moving on to the next system. Although not necessarily. It could turn out that Natal really is the first step to a new system, but we'll have to keep our eyes open.
Okay.
Next.
Okay, next. Here, look, another checkbox in the win column.
Yeah, I'll just put a big check by that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Google OS is out.
Yeah, the web-based operating system. I said that Google would come out with a web-based operating system, and now we have Chrome OS. Now, granted, Chrome OS is not available for purchase until next year. So,
but it exists.
And there's developer copies.
If
you're a developer, you can get your hands on one, and you can create applications for the Chrome OS. But, it's not on any commercial netbooks yet. Which, that's the main market for that, our netbooks.
Okay.
So you said that it would be a quiet year for Nintendo. At most, you said there'd be a new peripheral announced. I think that's pretty safe to say that it was a pretty quiet year for Nintendo.
Another softball. Except,
I mean, we even saw that Wii sales for the first time lagged behind PS3 sales in September.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's big news for Nintendo. Not good news. but it definitely was a quiet year.
True.
If you talk about peripherals, I would say that maybe the Wii Motion Plus is probably the closest to a new peripheral.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anything big. Of course, they had the balance board, which was the last one, and that was toward the end of last year.
Yeah, because
and
I
then you know the Wii Motion Plus was really more of an enhancement than an actual new peripheral.
Sure. All right, moving on.
Unless you have that new golf club thing that you clip on.
For the Tiger Woods game.
Yeah.
Where you chase after the SUV.
All right, so let's move on. Look, another win for Jonathan.
Yep, another big check mark.
He predicted that phone sales would take off. Would push Android up to new heights. And hey, look, a bunch of Android phones.
Yeah, so when Android first came out in the United States, it was only available on one handset for the longest time. It was the HTC G1, which I am looking at right now because that happens to be my phone.
Well, now there are a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, and once it moved to Verizon, I was thinking, okay, now Android really come into its own because Verizon is, in the United States, the largest cell phone carrier. So, yeah. Hey, what do you know? A prediction that I got spot on. Now, granted, the only other option at that point would have been for Android to kind of wither and die, which I guess could have also happened, but fortunately did not. So moving on, let's see here. Work on the PS4 and the end of PS3. So I guess this means that Sony would announce that the successor to the PS3 was in the works and that they were going to slowly phase out the PS3. No.
No, I think you actually pointed out that I was being a little overzealous. To end the PS3.
Yeah, because Sony has said that they see a 10-year lifespan in their consoles, which means that we're halfway through. We still have another half to go.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. But they did end of life the older style PS3.
Yeah,
in favor of the new slimmer model.
I will put a medium sized X mark.
I'm just trying to salvage it. I'm still wrong.
And there we go.
Okay, so I don't know. This is sort of a maybe.
Yeah, this one
make or break year for Blu-ray.
Now, when I made that prediction,
sort of a middling year for Blu-ray,
which is what it's been for the last several years. Again, this was going to be one of those where I thought that 2009 would be the year when either Blu-ray sales would finally start picking up and really give life to the format, or they would just falter so much that companies would start to abandon the format. Like movie studios would just stop producing discs because the profit margin wouldn't be great enough. I'd say that there's been incremental improvement, especially once the PS3's price dropped. I think that's really helped Blu-ray quite a bit, but I don't think it's not the meteoric rise that I was thinking would need to happen in 2009. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say that that's just going to be a small check mark right here.
Okay.
All right. And let's see. Oh, wait, that means I got to read the next one. So the Linux community will make a big move in operating system adoption. We saw some pretty high-profile Linux distributions come out.
Yes.
And people who are Linux users really like them. I just don't know how many people adopted Linux.
Yeah, I still think, honestly, I think a lot of people are confused. People who aren't really techies are a little bit confused by all the different distributions. I mean, they don't necessarily understand
how
Linux works.
There's usually just one current version of any particular operating system. Like if you talk about Mac OS, yes, there are multiple versions, but there's only one current version, like one specific one that's being updated right now. Whereas when you talk about Linux, you're talking about hundreds of distributions. So,
and that's what I meant about how Linux works. They don't understand necessarily that it's supported by a whole community of people, that it's not really owned by anybody. It's owned by everybody.
Right.
But, I do think it probably gained some ground, and I heard many, many positive things. But yes, I'm afraid I haven't seen anything that suggests that the new versions of Linux released this year have caused a surge in the number of Linux users.
All right.
Oh, hey, look at this. Cloud computing becomes a household term.
Three check marks.
Well, this is a smaller check mark, maybe.
Three small check marks.
Well, no, it has become a much more favored term, whether it's a household term.
Yeah, I don't think necessarily that average Jane housewife is talking about cloud computing.
But she probably uses it.
Yeah. So cloud computing, I think, got a lot more notice this past year.
Oh, absolutely.
Both for good and bad reasons. Things like, think about like when Gmail went down and Google Apps went down.
Mm-hmm.
That made the news, and people started thinking, oh, can I trust my documents to things like Google Docs? Because if the server goes down, how do I access my information? Well, that actually brought a lot of attention to cloud computing.
Yeah.
Not positive attention necessarily, but it did raise questions in people's minds about, is this the right way to go? Does it make sense? Is my data secure? Is it private? Is it really better than storing things on a local media storage device?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's definitely in more minds now than it was this time last year.
Right, right.
And here's one that's related to that, one of yours, that 2009 would be the year of the netbook. And I think that's a big, big X right there,
mm-hmm.
Meaning that, of course, that you got that exactly right. So this is a big right red X here. And
nice.
Yeah, that's what that one means. So
uh-huh.
Anyway, I would say the netbooks definitely are here to stay. I mean, they're more popular this year than they were last year. I wrote an article recently where I saw that within the second quarter of 2008, netbook sales accounted for around, I think, 5%, if I recall correctly, around 5% of all mobile computer sales. In that same quarter in 2009, it was closer to 22%.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big jump. So I think you could say this was the year of the netbook. Now, whether or not people like netbooks, I think that's still up for debate, because I'm not sure everyone knows what they're getting into when they buy one.
Yeah.
But they definitely were very popular, I think mainly because of their price point and because they are so mobile.
Yeah. So Facebook.
Yeah.
You predicted that they would do the fatal move on
yes.
MySpace, and they MySpace is bleeding pretty badly, but they don't seem to be completely dead
well,
over there.
Well, MySpace is not dead, but I would argue this is still a moderately sized check mark in my column.
No. Yeah, I mean they dealt them some serious damage this year.
Yes,
but MySpace is still around.
Sure, but
kicking.
I think MySpace is slowly turning into more of a content site and less of a social networking site.
Well,
especially now that it looks like MySpace is going to adopt Facebook Connect as part of their
Ooh.
System, so that you would be able to do things like link to banned pages on MySpace through your Facebook account.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really what MySpace has kind of become. It's become like the place for bans and banned pages. That's something that MySpace does really well that Facebook does not do really well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for MySpace, Facebook does pretty much everything else better than MySpace does.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
All right. So let's see. Twitter may go away. Huh. Let me check my Twitter account and see if Chris got that right.
All right.
Let's see. Oh, I think, I'm sorry. This is going to be at least seven X's.
Well, you know, I have to, in my defense, I have to point out that, Twitter has, as far as I know, still no business model.
Although it's still not making money. at least not generating revenue.
Yes, but it has many, many people now who have more than a million followers on it. So, I still don't know that it's going to survive on its own forever, but
no, I think
at
eventually,
least for now, I think it's around to stay.
Eventually, something is going to happen for Twitter to be able to stay around. But in 2009, it was there was a $1 billion valuation on Twitter. Now, whether or not that would ever actually stand up if you did an IPO or anything, I doubt it. But it does say that Twitter is extremely valuable and yet makes no money.
Yeah.
We can keep going. Come on. We can do this quickly.
All right. We'll do this quickly. Here's an easy one.
Yeah.
Venture capital dries up.
Yeah.
That would have to be a big no.
Right.
I'll
just put a negative big check mark here.
Yeah. It's quite the opposite. I've seen a lot of venture capital, especially in the latter half of the year. Probably again, sort of recession related, but
yeah,
I've seen people starting to fund companies again.
It was definitely counterintuitive to me. I didn't think that venture capitalists would fund more stuff during a recession, but it turns out that a lot of people had really good ideas and venture capitalists just got smarter about spending money.
Yeah, they're much more cautious.
Yeah, it's a totally different environment than it was in 2009, but people are still investing and people are still making money. All right, so let's see, where was the next one? The next big company to break out will be
had a lot more
Asus.
Than you did.
Well, You know what? Asus is doing well. I don't think it's the next big company yet.
No, actually, I think HTC ended up being the bigger company.
I think you're right. You know, I never even thought about that. But yeah, HTC, that was a company I had never even heard of before the G1 hit. I was interested in the G1 because of the Android operating system, but I had no clue who HTC was before that. And now you see so many handsets, and they're even, you know, netbook computers coming out with HTC brand on them.
Yeah, I think both of them actually had a similar past in that they made stuff for other people and then started branding their own. And HTC is being known for their quality, and I don't know.
No.
Anyway, let's see. Next one you had was a big jump in green tech. Well, duh.
Yeah, that was a. I feel almost horrible about giving myself such a massive check mark for this one because it was a gimme. But yeah,
I think you're going to need another whiteboard.
Yeah, I'm actually. I'm gonna.
That's big check mark.
You know what? I'm just gonna put check and a little plus in the upper right hand corner.
Okay.
All right. So let's see. The HD TVs have hit their price peak and will stagnate and drop. Nah, not so much. I mean, there's.
I've seen a drop in prices, but I think there are more, if you'll forgive me, cheapy models out there than there used to be.
Yeah.
Too.
It's the continual process we see with all electronics. As more people adopt it, the price drops. But the problem is that, well, not a problem, but the trend is that as people start to adopt, companies spend more money in innovation and they start to, come out with newer models that have newer features, and you get internet capable televisions, not computers, internet capable televisions, 3D TVs, mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff that ends up driving the price back up again for the high models. So, I'll give you an X for this because I think, you think you pretty much, you know, it's kind of splitting the difference. So, okay. There we go.
All right. And then you said that, Yahoo, would be bought or would collapse. I mean, they were on the ropes for a while there.
Yeah, but they've recovered quite well. Yeah, because
they are known as a content provider of sorts, although I don't think people think of them that way, but
they formed the partnership with Microsoft.
Yep.
So Microsoft will be, assuming that this partnership does in fact go through, because it's still one of those things that seems tenuous.
It's in place.
But Microsoft
approval.
will be providing the search engine power for Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
So Yahoo did not go away, did not collapse, did not get bought out. But it did enter a partnership with Microsoft, which I think saved the company. Because under this partnership, Yahoo for the first few years will be collecting the lion's share of the revenue from search results. So,
yep.
And search advertising.
And I had predicted that Yahoo would stay independent. So
we kind of split the difference there. So, tell you what, I'll put a check in mine and an X in yours. And, and there we go.
All right.
So, well, that happens to be all of the predictions I made, but Chris made a few more because he was just in a Svengali mood. So we're going to burrow through the rest of these.
Okay.
So Amazon will release the second Kindle.
Okay.
That's right. So that's the X there. Best Buy goes into Chapter 11. No, Best Buy's still around. Not doing the best business ever, but it's still around. So let's just put an X for wrong there.
All right.
Next, we've got AOL goes away. Well, you know what's interesting is it did split off. They're talking about selling, you know, Time Warner finally getting out of that AOL deal, which is weird because AOL is the one that acquired Time Warner, but it didn't go away. So, I'm sorry, that's next. And then more magazines and newspapers go online only. We saw a lot of that in 2009. Of course, that was another kind of green tech gimme.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to have to give you an X for that one. then we got DRM goes away. Boy, we wish, but the Kindle 2 pretty much keeps that around. Let's put an X there. And then we've got trade shows will decline, which, you know what? CES was a little less, crowded than it had been the previous year. I was at E3 as well, but unfortunately that was my first E3, so I can't. Actually, I think E3 was had heavier attendance, but that was because they went back to the older format.
Well, one thing too is that games actually did better than a lot of the other parts of the tech sector this year too.
They weren't completely recession proof. Toward the end of the year, the sales started to take a hit, but they did better than most other technologies. So I'm just going to call that an X. So let me tally
this up.
Let's look
at the board here. And Wow.
Gee,
you had all those check marks on your side.
I know. This is embarrassing.
I'm just going to go.
Wait. They mean different, but I don't remember. Was this a positive or a negative? You know what? We're just going to have to, we're just going to have to go by X's and checks. And it looks like I'm a winner this time, guys.
Yeah, I'll get you next year.
Except, I'm sure.
You know, this is one of those things that I thought would be, you know, I got in a mood where I was making all these predictions. It's really hard. Tech is such a mercurial field. I mean, stuff moves back and forth.
I say that in our next podcast recording session.
Okay.
2010 predictions.
Okay, we'll throw some together.
I mean, it is. We were going to throw some at the end of this, but we're already over time, so we're going to cut this one off. So
it's fun. I mean, you know, obviously Jonathan walked away with it this year, but
yeah, who knows? Next year, if it turns out whoever is holding the marker is the winner, then we will know that my method works. So we'll make predictions in our next podcast recording session, and which may or may not come out before January 1st.
That's okay.
But that's all right, because
the beginning of the year.
We'll make the predictions before the beginning of the year. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, okay. All right. Something to look forward to. Well, if any of you guys have any interesting predictions or questions, comments, suggestions for podcast topics, write us. Our email address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com. We have articles on tons of the topics that we covered today at howstuffworks.com. Go to the website, check it out. If you haven't ever visited, you should really check it out, because there's a lot of really great information, not just about tech either, all sorts of stuff. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the new Tech Stuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.